Well, on Friday I received quite a number of very interesting messages and phone calls, various ways. But I got a phone call from Western Australia, someone wishing me happy birthday from Western Australia. His name is Frank Hambley. Some of you may know him, but he and his wife are grey nomads these days, and they've hit the road for freedom. And he says that they listen to us on a Sunday, every Sunday. He was telling me all about Joab, and so he's up to date. What I find interesting, though, is that they're in lockdown over there. Wherever he stopped last, he's not allowed to leave. And so much for hitting the road and being free, and now he's stuck in his caravan in Perth somewhere, I think. But there you go. It's amazing. Well, how about we pray and then we'll have a look at what God's Word has to say. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. And Lord, we come here because we acknowledge that we need you. We don't need a ritual. We don't even need religion. We don't need this building per se. But Lord, we certainly need your word. We need the God of your word and you and your presence. We need you to work in and amongst us. And Lord, to a lesser extent, but still just as important, we need each other. We need to be encouraged by brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would take this opportunity and use it to be encouraged today. And Lord, allow you to speak to us as you see fit. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, something that captures the imagination of, I would say, every child. Oh, wait a minute. I knew there was something. Welcome to Isaac McKay. Is Isaac here? He's having a drink. Okay. Well, welcome to... Well, that's what the father did. I'm just... So, Isaac, welcome to Isaac. I'm sure Isaac will grow up as well and be fascinated by this, that to enjoy a treasure hunt. Every child and even adults enjoy treasure hunts. They make movies about treasure hunts as well. And there's something exciting about getting that map and then trying to obey it and do what it says with the hope that there's something special at the end. And I'm wondering, it's been a long time ago, but who was a camper when we had that exciting treasure hunt for the golden goblet? Is there... What age group was that? Lois, Eve, Esther. Wow, that was a long time ago. So that was at Crystal Creek. We had a meeting there about June. And so I went and I had this box with it wasn't really a golden goblet, it was brass. And I dug a hole about that deep. And I put it down at a particular place, covered it over, and so that come January, it would look like it's just been there forever. And so we had to hunt for this golden goblet. And I tell you what, I was really scared that I'm hoping I did the steps right in the beginning and I've got it right, because as we're digging, I'm thinking, are we ever going to find this thing? How deep did I put it? But anyway, I think the kids had an exciting time doing that. There's something about the adventure and expectation of finding treasure that can lure just about anyone into searching for it, especially if you come across a map that tells you about it. And today we're going to go what we would call treasure hunting. As it say there, tips for treasure hunters. Well, Solomon has tips for treasure hunters. In fact, Solomon, as he is inspired by God, tells us to go treasure hunting. And in Proverbs, if you'd like to please turn over there, Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon tells his son to search for something like he is searching for treasure. Now, I'm going to be very rude. Can we turn off those fans? Stephen, could you turn off those fans now, please? Do you know how to turn the fans off, Stephen Brown? It's getting really hot up here. I don't know if you're cold, but I'm hot. So when we build the new church, we're going to have some fans that blow that way because it's ridiculously hot up here. You don't want me fainting. Now that I'm an old man. I was seriously thinking, I'm getting off the track now. I always have these people ringing me up, do you want to put in a defibrillator in your church? You know, this is important for gatherings. Ah, no, we'll be right. But now I know that I've got high cholesterol, I've got to check my heart and all this sort of stuff. I think I'm going to get one of them in the new church. So, look forward for a defibrillator. Sorry, we'll get back on this. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4. He says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. And so if we were to look at the context, which we will as we go on, Solomon is telling his son that he is to search for something, like he is searching for silver, and even more so as you would search for hidden treasure. And in verses 1 to 3, we see what he was to search for. Now, this is, I'll try and highlight it by saying it a little bit louder. All right. But he says there in verse 1, my son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifted up thy voice for understanding. And so what Solomon does here is he encourages his son to search like he's searching for hidden treasure, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Search for these things like they are of hidden treasure. Now, he wasn't telling him to search for any type of knowledge or wisdom and so on. This was a special type of wisdom and a special type of understanding and knowledge. He wasn't telling him to find the wisdom and understanding of the world, like how to be rich or how to build those pyramids like the Egyptians, or how to build chariots like the Assyrians. Now, as we know in the New Testament, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The Holy Spirit wouldn't inspire Solomon to tell his son to search for worldly wisdom. No, the wisdom that he's telling his son to search for was the wisdom of God and the understanding of God and the knowledge of God. Now, I know this is the case because if you compare verse 3 to verse 5, we read that. Let's read verse 3 again. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, what sort of knowledge? And liftest up thy voice for understanding, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so, Solomon is telling his son to seek for the knowledge of God and the understanding of God. And so what was the true treasure that Solomon was encouraging his son to search for? Well, the true treasure was God himself. He wanted his son to seek to know his God, know what he's like, know all there is to know about God, understand him. And that is really understand him, really know him. That was the treasure that he wanted his son to search for. And brethren, if you want to find true treasure in life, a treasure that really satisfies, and one that is far more valuable than silver or gold or rubies or whatever it may be, then to know your God is the greatest treasure you can have. The Apostle Paul in Philippians was very happy to admit, after all the things that he had gained and learnt and so on, he said he counted all of those things like dung or rubbish compared to the knowledge of God. And he expressed emphatically that he had a passion and a desire that I may know Him. That is Jesus Christ. That was his greatest treasure. And it was obvious in the way he lived. Look at the way he lived. You could tell that his greatest desire was to know Christ and to live for Christ. And regardless if a person scoffs verbally or inwardly at that statement, that the greatest treasure of all is God and Christ himself, it doesn't change God's value. It only reveals that person who is scoffing's ignorance. Nothing else. Doesn't matter what anyone says, there is no greater treasure than that. You know, some of you may not know, but when I was, I can't remember how old, maybe 10, I was a little bit of an entrepreneur. All right? I used to tumble rocks. It's not a big thing these days, but a rock tumbler. And so Dad and I would go out and search for different types of stones. And then we had in the shed, it was this little machine. It had two little bars, and you have these plastic things, and you tumble rocks. And you put different powder in, and some powder would cut it down, another powder would smooth it. It would take about 2 months to tumble these things. So it was a major effort to tumble these rocks, and you come out with these smooth, shiny, beautiful rocks. And I used to buy these little things, or mum used to buy them, and you could put them on, glue them on as a necklace, and you can have a nice little rock. And I would sell them for like $5, all right? I was making big money back then, all right? $5, sometimes even $10. So I grew up thinking I knew rocks. And then we got invited to a man that would go, and he would go prospecting. You know what Mr. Wilberforce used to get? Was it sapphires? Yeah, sapphires. Who knows what? Anyway, I remember we went there for lunch, and he was showing me these. He unwraps them all. And he says, "See these ones?" And I think, I don't think they look as good as mine, you know. And I said, "Oh, how much would this be worth?" And he said, "Oh, that one, it's not very expensive, only about $10,000. I go, "Oh." He says, "This one over here, that's about $20,000. My really expensive ones I've got hidden down under the house." All right. And I'm thinking, "Whoa, yeah, these are rocks." You know, put them in my pocket. No. But you think, even though I scoffed thinking I knew rocks, it didn't take away the value of those things. All it did was reveal my ignorance. And when it comes to hearing and understanding that the greatest treasure that you could ever enjoy in life is to know God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, so for someone to scoff at that, all it really does is reveal their ignorance. And if you sit there and think, "Oh, I think there's other things more important than knowing Christ," well then, all that does is show your ignorance as well. And the greatest treasure, we are told here, in that we are to search it like silver and treasure on earth, is to know God and His greatness. And we are the ones that rob ourselves when we don't seek Him and to know Him. Now the question is, how do you find the treasure? How do you get to know the Lord? Well, any treasure hunter will know that you need to find, if you want to find hidden treasure, you need a map. Now, Mr. Wilberforce probably didn't need a map, but he probably knew exactly, or he was told where to go to find these things. And so, if this is the case, what is our map? Well, we don't have to wonder, because Solomon tells his son, He's letting him in on all the secrets. And we get to read it. Verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And so where do we find the knowledge and the understanding of God himself? Well, he says you find it from his mouth. He tells us about himself. No one else can really describe what God is like. Only God himself can do that. That's how great he is. And praise God, we have his word that shows us what he is like. This book is the treasure map. It'll lead us to the treasure. It will explain to us the greatness of the treasure. It will tell us what God is like, how he made us, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what upsets him, what hurts him, what pleases him, what makes him sad, the promises he's made, what he wants to do with us and for us, and everything that we need to know about God is found in the Word of God. Solomon said, out of his mouth cometh knowledge of God and understanding of him. And if we want to know God, then his word will show us the way. And you show me a person, a man or a woman, who knows God, and they will know his word. You can't have one without the other. Right? Don't try and kid yourself that you know God very well if you don't know his word. And so the treasure is God. And knowing him, that's what we're to search for. The treasure map is the Word of God. But if you ever been on a treasure hunt, you'll know there are some instructions that you need to follow if you want to find the treasure. If you don't follow the instructions, well, then you're never going to find it. For example, when you get a map, there's generally a starting point. Go to the big rock somewhere and face south, and then walk 20 paces, and then so on and so on, it'll tell you. And if you do all of these things, generally, well, this is if it's a pirate one, not that I've ever had one, but X marks the spot, all right? When you find the X, that's where the treasure is buried. And Solomon tells his son the rules or the steps in order to find the treasure. They are found in verses 1 to 4. You may have missed them. But here he tells us, if you do this, and if you do that, and if you do this, well, then you will find the treasure who is God himself. Now, Solomon doesn't mention this here, but for us today, the starting point is a cross. All right? The end isn't the cross. The starting point is the cross. And on that cross is a big rock, and that is Christ himself. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ must be where we start. If you ever hope to know God, you first must find the cross and the one on the cross who is the Lord Jesus. And he is the starting point for any treasure hunter when it comes to the things of God. Many try to know God, they try to obey the instructions of God, but they never start at the cross and trust Christ as their Savior, and all the activity that they do is in absolute vain. They're doing all these things that the Word of God says in the hope to find God, but they haven't started at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will never find him. In fact, they're lost. They're just walking around trying to find God, and they're lost. If we want to know God, we must first start at the cross and see Jesus dying in our place and ask him to save us. And then the instructions that Solomon gives will help us to find him. Now we can know what the instructions are that he gives by the little word if. All right? Solomon says, if you do this, if you do that, you'll find them. Have a look. Verse 1, my son, if thou wilt. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest. Verse 4, if thou seekest. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so he tells him three things, three instructions to find the knowledge of God. Let's have a brief look at these to see what he's saying. And the first one is probably is a long one, but it basically is boiled down to you must have a desire to find the treasure, first of all. Verses 1 and 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou inclinest thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. That's the first if. Some people may have a map. They know there's a God that they can know, but they're just too busy or they're just too lazy to want to know him better. And they will never know him as well as what they need to know him if that is the case. We need to remember that just having a map isn't enough, right? We also need to have a desire to look at the map and to find the treasure. So many believers, they have a map, it's on their bookshelf, maybe even beside their bed, they keep it nice and close. You carry it around in your pocket these days, it's on your phone as well, but they never actually read it. They never actually dwell on it and seek it. They have the greatest map to the greatest treasure that you could ever have in this world right next to them, yet they never pick it up or read it or seek it and seek to find the treasure that is found within those pages. Yet the sad thing is, I'll use Andrew. I rang up Andrew the other day and he was, am I allowed to say you do this? Okay, he was prospecting, all right? He had a zip, 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 all right? If Andrew came back to me after that and he came and said, Pastor Mitchell, great news. I found a nugget this big, pure gold nugget when I was out there, all right? I didn't want to take it, all right? I'm satisfied, all right? But this is the map, all right? If you want to go get it, you can go get it, all right? I tell you what, any of us, except for Andrew, of course, we would be studying that map, finding out where it is, and I'll guarantee that the first light that we can get, we're out there getting that map and searching so we can get that mighty big nugget of gold so we can cash it in and pay for the church. All right? I'm sure that's what we'd all have in our mind. But the reality is, if someone said there's a big nugget there and this is the map, we would all be doing it. That's our little psyche. But we have a God that is far greater than any nugget of gold or rubies or whatever it may be, and we make no effort to know him. We make no effort to seek him half the time. Yet Solomon explains to his son and says, if you want to know God, well, then you need to seek him. He says, if thou shalt incline thine ear to wisdom. The word incline means to prick up. You see, like a dog, you know, they're not listening and then they hear a noise and whoop, all right? They really want to listen. They're very intent on listening to that. Well, he says, that's what you need to be doing. If you want to know the Lord, you need to incline your ears to, or thine ear to, God's word, which is wisdom. I wonder, when you're listening today, are your ears pricked up and listening? Or is it just... you can't hear anything. It's all muffled, all right? Because you drift off. Or when you're reading God's word, do you listen and see what he has to say and seek to know what he has? He also says in verse 2, apply thine heart to understanding. That word apply means to stretch out. You know how if you want something, you lean out, and if you really want it, you stretch out as far as you can. You really want to get that, whatever it may be. Well, he says, that's what your heart needs to be towards the things of God. You are just opening up your heart and stretching out as much as you possibly can so you can receive the knowledge of God. And so we get the picture of someone who is seeking the Lord. Their ears are pricked, their hearts are stretched, open so God can speak to them and reveal himself to them. They are attentive to all the things that they can possibly learn about God. I wonder if that's you. Does your life, look back the last month, 6 months, is it someone that you said, now that's someone who wants to know God? Yeah, they're there in the house of God because they want to learn about God. They are reading God's word because they want to learn about God. They listen to what God has to say or what others have to say. They are someone that they're on a hunt, a treasure hunt for God himself. Would someone see that in your life? Do they? Well, Solomon says if you want to know God, that's the sort of thing you have to do. And that's why a lot of people think God seems so far away. I just don't really know him. It's because you're not even trying. You've got the map, but you're not even using it. But also we see the next thing you have to do is pray and ask to know him. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. And so to know the Lord and to understand him, you first must have a desire. Secondly, you must cry and ask for that understanding. And a big part of this is asking him to help you to understand his word, because sometimes it is hard. If his word reveals his person, then we need to understand his word. And if we don't understand his word, we will never understand and get to know him. And so we need to be crying for God to do something. How many times have you come here on a Sunday to hear God's word, yet you haven't even bothered to sit there in quiet and say, Lord, please reveal yourself to me today. Help me to understand you. Do you do that? You should be. Or when you're having your quiet time before, Lord, reveal yourself to me. I don't just need to read a book. I need to know you. Reveal yourself to me. And then if you read something and it doesn't make sense, how often do you go, oh, well, I've done what I should do, and you move on, instead of saying, Lord, please help me to understand this. It might be what you chew over that day. It might be what you study on, so you can know what God is saying there. You know, some don't have a desire to even pick up the Word of God, while others, they may pick it up, but they don't have a desire to ask God to reveal. The things of God are spiritually understood. That's what we're told in the New Testament. We need the Spirit of God to illuminate these things to us so that we can understand the things of God. And it comes by begging him for that. Yet so often when we don't understand, we stop searching, we stop digging, we only just dig every now and then, and we don't diligently seek the Lord. And so you've got to look at the map that reveals God's word and search it and ask him to help you by prayer to reveal it. And then the last thing is, as it sort of tops it all up, diligently seek him. And that's what he is trying to get at when he says in verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver, all right, everyone, people chase silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure. I get the picture of someone that is diligently seeking to know the Lord. As we're told in Jeremiah 29:13, yea, ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. Yet there are some that don't even seek. And then there are others that seek, but they don't seek with all their heart. But God says, if you seek and with all your heart, you will find me, he says. Now that's something to find. And Solomon expresses this to his son by giving him the example of the miners of silver and the searching of treasure. And Solomon should know this because he was sending people out all over the world to look for all different treasures. He was a treasure hunter. He knew exactly what it was like. And he said, that's how you're meant to search for God. And if there's ever a place that should teach us this as well, it's Bendigo itself. Our land is filled with holes. Now, that doesn't make sense. Filled with holes. Scattered with holes. All right? Scattered with holes. There's holes everywhere. There's mine shafts all around us. And they are a testimony of men and women that heard there's gold, and so they started digging and they continued to dig. And some of them, it's amazing how big and how long they dug for. And it wouldn't have happened in the first week or month or even year. They dug and dug and dug because they knew there was gold there. I'm sure there was some. I probably would have been someone like this. I'm going to Bendigo. I'm going to find gold. And you dig, and I tell you what, it's hard, you know, getting through that topsoil. Let alone anything else. All right. I might last a day or two and think, oh, I don't really want the gold that much. All right. I'll let someone else get it. And some did like that. Yet, isn't that a lot like us? There are some people that dig for the things of God and they are rich spiritually. Yet there are others that love the idea of being rich spiritually, but they don't dig it very much at all. Or they have a spurt for a day or a month, even a year, but then it all disappears. And there's no continual digging. And they never get to know God the way they ought to. You know, if you went to a mountain and you came across a mountain that was actually just one big nugget of gold, I'm sure you would not say, well, I'll just dig a little bit, I don't need much, and then go away and be satisfied. I don't know if anyone would be like that. I'd be there every day digging that thing until I've drained it dry. It's just in our nature, or my nature, to try and do that, right? Yet how often we have not just a mountain, we have a universe of treasure in our Heavenly Father and our beautiful Savior. And you find Him in salvation. And you're so excited that you have salvation. You found Christ. Yet there is, that's just a little bit about Him. There's so much more about Him. Yet we think, oh no, I've got enough of Him now. And we don't dig any longer. I wonder what sort of miner would be the best picture for you when it comes to the things of God. Are you one of those obsessed gold diggers? Wakes up, first thing they think about is, I'm going to go dig for gold. That's what they do during the day. I'm digging for gold. They go at night thinking about how they got so much gold, or they wish they got more. They go to bed thinking about it. They dream about it, and they wake up and do the same thing again. Or are you the sort of gold digger that finds it, oh, this is a little bit too hard. I just won't bother. What sort are you when it comes to finding God, the greatest treasure of all? Well, it's interesting that that's what Solomon tells his son to do. It says, son, and I'm sure he would have been rich, don't worry about the silver and the gold that is like stones around here. I want you to search for the knowledge of God. And the wisdom and understanding of God, that is the treasure that you put your life into. Can I encourage you to do the same? If you want to be rich, spiritually rich, there are some things you just must do. And thankfully we have the map and the revealer. And so let's take full advantage of what we have. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we acknowledge that we are ignorant of how great and magnificent and beautiful you are. One day we're going to see you with our eyes and we're going to fall on our face in awe and wonder. And everything else will seem so pointless. Everything will seem so pointless. And Lord, for some of us, we will realize we wasted so much of this world on wood, hay, and stubble. And it will be burnt up. Yet for others, they will have invested in gold, silver, and precious stone. Those things that are of you. And Lord, they will last, and they will be a testimony for all eternity that we loved you more than anything else in this world. I pray that, Lord, we would see that, take advantage, and Lord, not be foolish, and seek you like we would seek treasure here on earth. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.